turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 6. Beginning in verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I want you to notice the latter part there of verse number 9. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Bondage. They hearkened not. They did not hear it. They did not receive it. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I'd like to preach to you this morning very simply, very plainly on don't miss the message. Don't miss the message. They hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I'd like to say, beginning this morning, it's not always the fault of the preacher if the message doesn't go home. And I know there's been some that have complained that the minister's speaking above the heads of the audience. That won't be your complaint today. I've been in some places where they preached and I had to get a dictionary and look up some of the words. I promise you that won't be your problem today. But you know, that's the complaint of some. They feel like that maybe the preacher's way up here and they're down here. And many times they feel as though that the message or the sermon is going above their heads. Now I've preached in some places and I've made the statement, if this is not for you, just let it go on by. You know, and sometimes a lot of people do let it go by. But really the problem most of the time is not that the message or the outline or the sermon, the content, is not so much that it's so far above our heads. The problem is we don't let it penetrate into our heart. And it's not altogether the fault of the minister. Sometimes as preachers, and I'm not just going to preach to the preachers, but sometimes as preachers or as ministers of the gospel, we're kind of like that little boy I saw out in the field here a while back. We were going home from church, and there was a little boy standing out in the backyard, and he had a baseball bat, had on his little uniform and hat, and he was throwing up the ball and hitting that ball with the bat. And he's out there all by himself. I don't know, but I got to wondering, what was that little boy thinking? Probably in his mind, he is hitting a home run. And isn't that the way it is sometimes when we get up behind the pulpit? We take a swing at it and maybe we felt such an inspiration when God... You ever shared a text with somebody and it just didn't move them? You know, you said, man, this is great. And you told them what your thought was, and they just kind of smiled and said, that's good, you know. And so I may be up here this morning like that little boy, feeling like I'm going to hit a home run. But sometimes, you know, it's not always the fault of the preacher if we don't make a home run. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't study and be prepared and pray and or anything like that. But a lot of times the real problem is not that the message goes above our heads. The problem is we don't allow it to get into our heart. And I've seen times when the message could be as elegant and clear as crystal, and there could be poems and a flashy title and 3 points and illustrations. And I like illustrations. D.L. Moody said illustrations are windows. They're not really a window so that I can look out, but they're a window so that you can look in and see what I'm trying to tell you. But I've seen preachers that get up and, man, their delivery and their I don't know, they had a way about them. And I could name some preachers that I've heard preach, and they're orators. We have got some great orators. And just because you can deliver a message and you have oratory skill, that doesn't always mean you're not anointed. Because I've seen some that we've got some orators in our movement that can deliver a message. And they're eloquent, they're well-read, they're well-studied, their vocabulary is broad, and they have words to describe, and all of those things. But yet I've seen preachers that had an eloquent way, and their message was clear. And you could understand, but somehow after all of that, it fell flat. But it's not always the fault of the preacher. Many times, the obstruction to getting instruction, it's not always the fault of the preacher, but it's because we are not allowing what is being said to penetrate into our heart. And I don't know how you feel, but I think that even though Moses himself was such an honest man that he admitted to God that he had a disability in his speech, and he was open about that with God, and he was one of the first people to recognize it. But yet after all of that, God chose him, and I believe that Moses was a great preacher. And what I read to you in Exodus chapter number 6, I don't think a preacher could preach a more joyous message than what God gave this man to preach in Exodus chapter number 6. But it seemed that somehow, after all that he said, there was a stone that was upon the door of their heart. And they just did not get the message. And in this text, it really reveals to us in verse number 9 that a lot of times there are two deterrents that keep us from hearing or receiving what God has to say. And notice what the Bible said. The Bible said in verse number 9, they hearkened not unto Moses, not because he wasn't dressed good enough. Now, I started out, I preached some of my first revivals in Wrangler jeans and Red Wing work shoes. I really did. And that was how I went to church. I tried to find, I wore a nice pair of Wranglers and a new pair of Red Wings. But that's what I preached some of my first revivals like that. And later on, doors, started opening. And I had somebody come and talk to me. And they said, you probably ought to just dress up a little. And so I went, Brother Jimmy Jewell, I went from Wrangler blue jeans to Dickie work breeches. Because you can get them in more than one color. You can get them in khaki, and you can get them in blue, you can get them in black. The only thing I didn't like about them, the belt loops were kind of off-centered sometimes. So I went up to that. And then we were preaching revival in Kentucky for Brother Lee Brock. And I went to Sears one day and stayed 3 hours by myself. Stayed 3 hours. Just something about them double-knit breeches I just didn't like. They felt like it was crawling up my leg or something all the time. And just, I just wasn't used to it. My dad never dressed up. That's just the way I was raised. I had a hard time. But what I want you to understand is they didn't hearken to the message. It wasn't because of the preacher's attire. Wasn't because of that. And I'm not against dressing up. I've tried to do better in the last few years. And when I got into the ministry and I started seeing maybe a need, you know, for things and just started learning some things. But the Bible didn't tell us that the deterrent or the reason that they didn't get the message wasn't because of the way that Moses was dressed. That was not the reason. But the Bible here lays it out. And it tells us what sometimes keeps us from getting the message. And it said, because the people hearken not because of anguish of spirit and because of cruel bondage. And I want to tell you something this morning. If we're not careful, amen, there's some things that we can allow that keep us from getting what God has for us to hear. And of these two things right here that are mentioned in verse number 9, anguish of spirit and cruel bondage, amen, can make you incompatible with what God has for you to hear in this meeting and even in this service. Now, although I have the utmost respect for the office of the ministry, as black man said, I is one, and I have that utmost respect for the office of the ministry, but my intention this morning, I'm not just going to focus on the messenger as much as I want to get to the message. But yet I cannot overlook that Moses had a kind of character that made him qualified to do what he was doing for the Lord. Amen. God would never call Moses if he would not have that ability, amen, to be a messenger of God. Isn't that right? I believe that God in His divine purpose, amen, knew exactly what kind of man that Moses was. He knew about his ability and his disability. He knew everything about him. Amen. But yet God called him, and it's hard for me to overlook the character of this man Moses. I believe that when you study the life of Moses, you'll find that he was faithful in declaring the divine truth of God. Amen. And I want to say this. Amen. Shame on any preacher that looks lightly on being faithful unto God. Come on now. Amen. Shame on any preacher that does not see the importance of being faithful. Oh, God. Amen. I'm not a pastor and I've never pastored, but I tell you one thing that my pastor taught me is that if I'm going to preach everywhere else, when I'm home and I'm not preaching, I need to be at church on my church night. Come on now. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, there's something about, amen, some of the ministry in our day. Amen. I believe that the world and even the church world is full of some preachers that are lacking in some areas of integrity. Amen. I believe that Moses was a faithful minister. Come on now. Amen. The Bible didn't say, how shall they hear without a puppet? The Bible said, how shall they hear, amen, without a preacher? And one thing I liked about Moses, amen, not only was he faithful unto God, amen, but he was faithful to preach exactly, amen, what God laid on his heart. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I know, I thank God that we got some preachers and some pastors that are not swayed. Amen. And their strings are not pulled. Amen. By the congregation or the deacon board. And they're going to preach what God gave them. Amen. Let's go on now. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the character of this messenger. Amen. But I want to get down to the contents of the message. Amen. The Bible tells us here. Amen. And the Bible. Amen. The Bible said, and Moses spake. So, I want you to get that. Moses spake so. Everything in verses 1 through 8, amen, is what God was telling Moses. And then when Moses got the message himself, and it was time for him to give it to the church, he didn't go change the message. But the Bible said that Moses spake
So, you know what that tells me? That indicates to me that there was an exactness in this message. Amen. Exactly what God gave him was the message that Moses was going to give the congregation. Amen. And I want to tell you something about this message. It was a great message. I don't know of any other message that you could preach or I could preach that would be any better for the timing of Israel. Amen. Listen what Moses, now this is some of his points that Moses preached him, that message that he gave to the congregation. Amen. Number one, the Bible tells us in verse number one, amen, the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he shall let them go. Amen. One of the first points in the message that Moses preached was you're going to see the power of God. Amen. You're going to see the power of God. Amen. With a strong hand. Amen. I know the Bible here, when you read that text on the surface, amen, God said, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. Amen. It really wasn't going to be Pharaoh letting them go. Amen. It was going to be God moving on Pharaoh to let them go. Amen. What did Jesus tell Pilate? He said, you wouldn't have any power at all if God didn't give you any power. Amen. So really the strong hand we see, amen, it's not the strong hand of Pharaoh, but it is a strong hand of God. Amen. And Moses got up and told the congregation, amen, now thou shalt see, amen, with a strong hand, amen, God's going to get you out of this mess. And one of the first things that Moses told the congregation is, you're going to see the power of God. Amen. Well, here, I like this too. Amen. When are we going to see this? Amen. The Bible said now. Amen. Thou shalt see, amen, the power of God. Amen. That was one of the first things that the preacher preached to the congregation, that they'd see the power of God. Amen. Listen. Amen. That was point number one. And then Moses, he keeps on preaching. And in verse number three, amen, he says that God spoke to him and said, I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah. Come on now. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Amen. Listen, God is saying, not only are you going to know my power, but you're going to know my person. Amen. I'm going to reveal to you who I am. Amen. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. I appeared to them as God Almighty. I'm going to be Jehovah God to you. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get this now. Amen. The preacher's preaching a message. He's telling them about the power of God. And now he's telling them about the person of God. Amen. God's going to be to them. Amen. Jehovah God. And then I noticed in verse number 4, amen, Moses kept on preaching. And he said also, amen, I've established my covenant. Thank God. Amen. Now he's telling them about the promise of God. I want you to notice all of this. Amen. Is in the message. He's preaching about the power of God. He's preaching about the promise of God. He's preaching about the person of God. Come on now. And then in verse number 4, amen, listen to this. Amen. God said, I'll bring you out. I will rid you out. I will redeem you. I'll take you to me. I'll be to you a God. I'll bring you in. I'll give it to you for a heritage. Amen. Now Moses is getting down, amen, to the provision of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He preaches for a while and tells them about God's power. He preaches for a little while and tells them about the person of God. His personality. Amen. He's going to reveal himself. And then he tells the promise. And he tells the provision. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been in that congregation, I'd have said, wow, what a great message. Amen. What a message. Come on now. And you'd have thought by then, had been running the aisles and shouting. I mean, what a message. He's not preaching to us about, you know, hard things. He's not, amen, he's not on a hobby horse here this morning. Amen, he's not preaching about his irritations. And, amen, but he's preaching about God's power. He's preaching about God's person. He's preaching about God's promise, God's provision. What a message. But the Bible said, they hearken not. sometimes we just don't get the message. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we just don't get the message. Hey man, I don't think the reason they didn't get it, really, it wasn't because the he did have a message from God, didn't he? The Bible said that God gave it to him. He didn't spice it up with a little humor. And amen. I mean, the Bible said that Moses spake so. Exactly what God gave Moses. That was the exact message that he gave to Israel. But the Bible said they hearkened not. Amen. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Amen. I want to tell y'all something this morning. Amen. These two things in verse number 9. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll allow them to cause us to miss, amen, what God says, amen, or is trying to say into our heart. Amen. How many will agree with me that sometimes, amen, it is difficult for us to accept, amen, the message of God, amen, because our spirit, amen, is flat. It really ain't that the preacher's flat, or the message is flat, or the song service was flat. It's because we came in here, amen, our spirit so much in anguish, amen, feeling the bondage of our circumstances, amen, that sometime, my friend, amen, come on, we're all human, and we all got trouble, and we all got problems, amen. I wish we could come into church, and all of our problems, we could hang it up on the coat rack like we do our coat and our hat, and come on in and have church, but it ain't always that way. Sometimes that anguish that we've been feeling all day long, amen, comes right down and settles in, and when we sit down in the pew, amen, sometimes the cruel bondage, amen, of our circumstances, amen, while they're singing, "I'll fly away," our bondage is on our mind, amen, while somebody else is shouting, amen, our spirit, amen, is sorrowful. I come to tell you, my friend, everybody's got trouble, everybody gets in anguish, everybody has bondage, everybody's got sorrow, but in Jesus' name, don't allow that to cause you to miss what God Almighty would like for you to hear and receive in this morning. Oh, God. Sometimes I have been guilty as a preacher of using this pulpit as a place of leverage. And, you know, I preach sometimes hard to people that couldn't get their hands up. I didn't realize they hadn't been able to get their head up all day because of things that have happened. Amen. Anguish of spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Come on now. Amen. Anguish of spirit. Oh, God, listen. Amen. Many times because of the extreme pain, amen, that you're feeling in your heart, and because of the distress, amen, of the present that you're in, amen, it does have an effect on your spirit, doesn't it? Come on now. Amen. Oh, I was preaching revival one time, and walked through the living room. They had the radio on, and the pastor was sitting there. We was fixing to eat dinner, and out there, dinner's at noon, by the way, back home. Supper's at 5 or 4. But anyway, amen, just thought I'd throw that in. And we were sitting there, and we walked through there, and back home we got this radio station. It's called the Oasis. Really, it's the driest thing you can listen to. I mean, the driest thing. Then one guy gets on, he says, "This is the hour of anointing." My pastor said, "Two things wrong with that. It's only 30 minutes long, and it sure ain't anointing." Amen, so he needs to change something about that. But, I mean, they're so charismatic. I've actually heard where they get on there and say, you know, just go out in that driveway and claim that bass boat, and just go out there and just confess that. Anyway, we was there, and that pastor walked through the living room. That guy was confessing all this stuff, and he said, "If I hear him say one more thing, I'm gonna shoot that radio. If I hear him confess one more thing, come on, amen. Listen, amen. I know we have trouble, and I know we have problems. I know sometimes we preach, amen. You ought to shout out from under it. I know sometimes we preach, amen. Sing your way out, but hey, brother, sometimes, amen, the anguish, come on now, amen, our spirit is so low, we've been broken and wounded and battered, come on now, I don't think our theme song ought to be, come on, what is that song, amen, me and the devil, no, amen, what's that, early this morning, I got up and fought the devil all day long. Yeah, the sun come. I mean, You know, I know we have battles. But listen, brother, amen, sometimes when I've been preaching, I looked at people and said, hey, amen, we're in church. And I'm not taking away from anything, brother Hyde preached. Not at all, please. Amen, don't do that to me here. Amen, but I'm telling you sometimes, brother, amen, the reason we're not getting the message is altogether not because that you ain't living holy. It ain't because you didn't pray. Amen, it's because there's anguish. Amen, there's sorrow. And there's bitterness. Now, come on now. And brother, the devil don't want you to get the message. I said the devil don't want you to hear what God has to say. Amen, the Bible said they couldn't hear it because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And sometimes because of anguish of spirit or the pain or the suffering or the distress, it's not really the message is flat or the preacher is flat. It's because there's just so much anguish here. It's hard for me to believe that. Now here's a man that come down to a congregation. He's preaching about the power of God. He's preaching about the person of God. He's preaching about the promise of God, the provision of God. He's preaching about all these good things. But when you read a few verses before, Pharaoh says, now you tell them to make bricks without straw. And they're saying, yeah, I hear you, Moses. The power of God, I hear you. Come on now. Promises of God, I hear you. Come on now. Amen. Really, it was kind of unfair to the preacher because they thought as soon as Moses showed up, amen, things got worse. Amen. At least we used to have a little straw to make brick. Come on now. Amen. Some congregations are a little unfair. Come on to the preacher. Amen. Everything got worse since you got here. Amen. But that was not the fact. Amen. God sent him there. But you got to understand where Israel was. Amen. They're tromping in the slime. Come on, being whipped and beaten and broken. Here's a guy screaming about the power of God. I hear you. Come on now. Here's a guy preaching about the provision of God. Come on, you ever been there? Sure you have. You sit right on the pew and the preacher preached. You said, I hear you. Come on now. Amen. They sung the song. Everybody shouted all around you. Amen. You said, I hear you. Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you sometimes, brother. Amen. The devil. Amen. Don't want you to hear, amen, what God has to say. Can anybody shout amen this morning? I'm telling you, anguish of spirit, amen, will cause you to miss what God has to say. It's easy for me to get up here and preach on faith when I feel good and I don't have a diagnosis. Come on now, I don't have a bad report. I haven't seen the x-ray. Easy for me to get up here and preach to you on faith, but it's kind of hard for you to get the message when you know what the doctor said. Come on now, and you've seen it for your own self. Come on now, and there's anguish right here. Come on, oh, hallelujah. Amen, there's anguish. Amen, you feel the bitterness of your cruel bondage. I mean, I can get up here and preach on faith. Amen, it's easy. Amen, well, Vance Havner said, it's one thing, amen, to stand on the riverbank and preach it like John the Baptist. It's another thing to sit in the jailhouse and take it. Come on now, that's easy for me to preach on faith, but it may be a little hard for you to get the message. If your faith is weak. Oh, hallelujah. I can get up here and I can preach about being encouraged. Amen. Because right now, amen, all my bills are paid. Thank God that wasn't Bill Collector up there. It was Bill Camp. But, you know, I mean, all my bills are paid. And, amen, my grass got mowed and I got weed eated. I've been doing so much weed eating lately. It's nicknamed me Nebuchadnezzar, I guess. I mean, just seemed like I can't stay caught up. Amen, but everything was fine at home. Amen, all the bills were paid. Old Suburban got us down here again. Amen, I mean, you know, I feel pretty good. I mean, pretty encouraged. Amen, it's easy for me to get up and preach about encouragement. Now, come on now, but sometimes, amen, you've been battling dozens of demons, amen, fighting spirits out of hell, the bottom dropped out of everything. thing. You lost your job, marriage is on the rocks. It's easy for me to preach on being encouraged. But if your spirit is in anguish, it might cause you to miss it. Can somebody shout amen? If you walked in here today and your spirit is battered and bruised and broken, if you ain't careful, the devil, amen, will cause you to miss what God has to say. The Bible said they didn't get it because their spirit was in anguish. Amen. And I thought the reason they wasn't getting it is because they didn't care. Come on now, but that's not always the case. I thought the reason they didn't receive it, amen, is because they wasn't concerned. Amen. And maybe they just came nonchalant. And I know, amen, we got folks like that. I really believe today, amen, that there's some people that's here right now. Amen. Your faith is a little weak, but you'd like for it to be stronger. Amen. You came in here afflicted, but you really do have a desire to be healed. Amen. You ain't got a song. Oh, you got to sigh. Amen. But you'd like to hear something. Amen. That would bring encouragement. All I come to tell you this morning, my friend, I know your faith may be weak. And I know you may be a little despondent. And you may be a little discouraged. You may be feeling a little down and out. Hallelujah. But in Jesus' name, don't allow that. Amen. To put a stone over the door of your heart. Amen. Until it causes unbelief and doubt in the message that God's trying to give. Amen. To your heart. If somebody shout amen, I'm preaching, don't miss the message. I'm not denying the fact of your affliction. I'm not denying the fact of your despondency. I'm not going to deny the fact. I mean, now what kind of crazy nut preacher would Moses have been? They're making bricks without straw now. And he'd have said, I'll just confess that you're out of there. Come on now. Oh, you have little faith? Just shout out from under that whip. What kind of crazy nut preacher? Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, but that's the way I've done it sometimes. Amen, that's the way I thought, you know, come on now. Amen, the preachers ought to be saying amen at least here this morning. Amen, sometimes we looked at folks and we didn't really understand. But listen, I'm not going to deny the fact of all those things. But yet I'm not going to deny the fact, amen, that we sometimes allow, amen, those things, amen, to keep us from getting, amen, what God would have us to hear. And you know what, brother? Amen, if we're not careful, amen, we indulge ourselves in discontent. And we indulge ourselves in the fretfulness that is already there. Until that's all we talk about. You know there's some people you don't ask how you're doing. You ain't got time to hear it. And they ain't got time to tell you, amen, all the bad things. They won't just tell you about Pharaoh. Amen. They won't tell you about the mud. They won't tell you about the straw. They won't tell you about the whip. Amen. They won't tell you about everything. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Our testimony services turns into the moanies. Amen, because all we want to do is get up. Amen, gripe, moan, complain, bellyache. Amen, I told you. Amen, I'm not doing away with the fact. I know that we all got trouble. I see where you are. But don't allow that to keep you from hearing. The Bible said they hearken not. The Bible said they didn't get it. A great message, a power, and promise. Brother, they didn't get it. How many times has the preacher preached about the power of God and the person of God? Aren't you glad he's a personal God? And how many times did the text include his promises, his provision? I'm telling you, Moses preached a great message to the congregation, but they hearkened not because of anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You see, several years ago, I was going through a little thing, really personally, and Brady was just about to come into this world, and my grandpa was in the hospital at the same time, and he was in bad shape, and at that time I was working on a job, and Jessica, she was
about 16 months old, and my wife was expecting Brady, and we had some false alarms, you know, going to the hospital, and down to the hospital with Grandpa, and back to the hospital with Teresa, and, you know, working on a job. And I remember wee hours of the morning, I see a clock flash, 3 o'clock, you know, 4 o'clock. I had to get up and go to work, all those things. But I know the Bible said you got to pray. And Jesus said that men always ought to pray. They ought to always pray, not to faint. There'll be sometimes, Brother Joy, I pray, and I wake up and the sun be coming up. I'd be in the same place. Hadn't prayed a lick. Weary. Come on now. Hey, man, I mean, I'd get up, feel backslid. I mean, feel terrible. Dear God, here I am supposed to be trying to preach. I can't even pray. I'd go work. And so I heard a preacher one time, and he said, if you're not a morning person, this might be good for you. If you're not a morning person, don't try praying at 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you ought to try at 10 o'clock. How many knows God can hear you at 10, just like you can at 4? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Now, some people have developed that discipline. That's good. I'm not taking away from that at all. Jesus rose early and prayed. That's one of the greatest examples we have. Amen. But really, you need to pray when you can be effective. I mean, if your whole prayer, you know, sometimes be like me and my wife would knock on the door and say, honey. And I'd raise a hallelujah, glory to God, have a big red spot right here. Come on now, wrinkle right here. Come on, y'all ain't done that, have you? Ever went to sleep? I mean, come on now. I mean, I guess I'd rather go to sleep praying than I would playing or something like that. Amen. But still, I was going through a battle. It didn't matter. So this preacher said, pray when you can be effective. So I said, well, I'm going to change my prayer time. So I started praying at 10 at night or 6 in the morning. Or I tried noon. I tried 11. I tried everything in between. Every time, I'd go out like a light, man. Whoom. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. So the devil almost had me convinced that I was just, you know, predestined to, amen, just die lost, I guess, and lose my ministry and everything else. I just couldn't do it. I mean, in the midst of all that, you know, in the midst of all of that, you know, wife just about to have a child and grandpa dying and my dad, and you know, just everybody down to hospital just getting up early and late nights and early mornings just don't mix. I mean, it just don't do it. Amen. But every time I tried to pray, go to sleep. And it got to the place where it was making my spirit heavy. Hear people get up and talk about, I prayed and touched God today. Man, I just get low. Preacher get up and preach about prayer. Jesus rose early and prayed. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, and I just get lower and lower. Come on now, sleep on! Oh God, amen. I just get lower and I go to church and I come in the back door and man, my spirit just heavy. Come on. And old Brother Lowell Smith, he's done gone on now. Preacher, Brother Carl, you helped in the funeral, didn't you? Brother Lowell Smith, great guy, great preacher. And from our area, he came to Iron Post one night and he preached a simple text. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I was sitting back there, low spirit, in anguish. Come on now. I felt the cruelness of my bondage. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, they get up and sing, if God delivered me, then why should I be bound? You go through the whole service, you go home saying, Lord, why am I still bound? Oh, Lord, why am I still bound? Amen. And Israel was feeling the cruelness of their bondage. And so, hey, I mean, promise of God, power of God, person of God. Amen. You don't understand what I'm feeling here. Amen. That's the way I felt. Amen. Lead me to the rock. It's higher than I. I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, all right. You ain't feeling what I'm feeling. You don't hear the crack of the whip like I do. Come on now. Amen. After a while, Brother Joy, he kept exhorting and preaching on that text. Amen. All of a sudden, brother, I jumped up. Yow! Took out running. I was in the old church. Didn't take long to get to the foyer. Ran around the foyer and came back. Amen. Ran around the altar. Yow! Ran back again. Immediately, I felt God give me victory. Went home, had a good prayer meeting. Stayed awake. I mean, stayed awake. Isn't it something how we forget the miracles of the loaves and the fishes? And a few weeks later, we was driving down the road. We was going to church and we had a tape in. Brother Lowell Smith preaching on, "When My Heart Is Overwhelmed, Lead Me to the Rock That's Higher Than I." We was going up Blackbird Hill on Highway 82. And he's a preaching away there on the tape. We're going to church. All of a sudden in the background, some crazy man goes, "Ow!" I looked at my wife and said, I started laughing. And then I started crying and laughing. I said, "That's me. I said, that's me. Yow!" Come on now. Amen. You know what it was? Amen. A lot of times I didn't get the message. But Brother Lloyd, that night, brother, amen, I got the message. And when I got the message, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you get it, brother, I said, when you get the message, it'll turn you around. It'll bring deliverance to your soul. It don't always do away with a sickness. You don't always get healed every time. But you get to the place where you're not going to allow that anguish and that bondage to cause you to miss out. Is anybody going to hear God? Is anybody going to hear the Lord? Is anybody going to hear the Word of God today? Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus 20 and 19, "Speak and we will hear." Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel." Isaiah 28 and 14, the Bible said there'd be a famine, not for food, but for hearing the word of the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, don't indulge, amen, yourself in the discontent and the frustration going on in your life. Amen. Don't indulge until it's all that's on your mind. It's all that's on your conversation. Amen. Come on, that's all that's in your prayer. Take that prayer and turn it into a praise. And tell God Almighty, "Ain't I gonna allow this trouble that caused me to miss out. Ain't I gonna allow the burden that caused me to miss out. Ain't I gonna allow the grief that caused me to miss out." I'm telling you, I want to hear God. I want to hear the Holy Ghost. I want to hear the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't miss the message. Oh God. Brother Kevin, you don't know what we face this year. I know I don't, but don't allow that to cause you to miss it. They hearken not because of anguish. I'm not saying you don't have trouble. I'm not saying you ain't got problems. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic with your sickness. Please, I know sometimes I am dull and I am insensitive to people. Amen. I know sometimes I feel sometimes that I'm a critic and I know I need to be more compassionate. Amen. But don't allow that sickness to be the deterrent that keeps you from hearing about His person. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. The trouble that you're in it. Amen. But don't allow that, amen, to keep you from hearing about His power. Come on now. Amen. Oh, the discouragement that you're in. Amen. You're in it and maybe you can't get out of it. Amen. But don't allow that to be the stone that keeps you from hearing about the promise of God. Can anybody shout amen this morning? I'm telling you, I don't want to miss the message. In Exodus 12 and 4. "And it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." They finally got it. Woo! Come on now, I mean, a while ago this. Yeah, right. Power of God. Preach on, preacher. Promise of God. Heard it a million times. Provision of God. Heard that same thing last year. Hey, the person of God. Brother so-and-so preached it. Amen. We've heard that before. But when they got it, brother, they started packing up. Come on now. And you know what I believe this morning? If you could really get the message. Amen. You know what they did? The Bible said the whole host, amen, went out and told Pharaoh goodbye. Goodbye. You know what you'd do if you'd get the message? You'd look back at your circumstance and say goodbye. You'd look back at the problem and say goodbye. I'm telling you, brother, when you get the message, it'll make you want to pack up and get away from the discouragement. Get away from the trouble. Get away from the sickness. Amen. You know what we need today? Somebody to hear about God's power. Somebody to really hear about Jehovah God. Somebody needs to hear about His promise. Somebody needs to hear about His provision. And brother, when you get it, you'll pack up and tell Pharaoh goodbye. And it came to pass that all the host went out from Egypt. Woo! I don't know, but what somebody here this morning, all you need to do is just hear the message. Your trouble, your circumstance, your cruel bondage has been that deterrent that's kept you from hearing. Moses came and preached a great message, did he not? Directly from God. And Moses spake so. But they still didn't get it. And if you're not careful in this meeting, we're going to hear great preaching. Amen. I'm anticipating the afternoon service. Amen. The night service. But you know what? We're going to have troubled people in here. We're going to have burdened people in here. We're going to have sick people in here. Amen. And there ain't a thing we can do about it. Amen. But Brother Joy, we can tell them about His power. We can tell them about Jehovah God. We can tell them about His promise. Amen. But after all of that, amen, you got to get it. After all of that, you got to receive it. Amen. Israel packed up. Amen. And moved out. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Amen. Brother Dalton, if from your church, amen, somebody packed up. Amen. Told the devil goodbye. Hallelujah. Brother Bruce, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody from your church, amen, just finally got the message and said, you know what? Amen, I'm in trouble, but I'm going to quit singing about it all the time. Amen, I know I got a problem. I ain't going to testify about that no more. I'm going to talk about the power of God and the person of God and the promise of God. And brother, when you get the message, amen, you'll leave Egypt. You'll leave the bondage. Hallelujah. You'll leave the burden. You'll leave the trouble all behind. And I wonder today, what would happen? And see, I've been up here for I don't know how long. Too long, probably. But I wonder if right now in this service, Brother Joy, you ever been a mailman? Would you like to be a mailman for me? I got a few messages here. Just come on over here and just lay your hand out, and I'll just put that one there. And I'll put this one there. And I'll put this one there. And I'll put this one there. And I wonder what would happen right now if somebody just got the message. I mean, I don't know, but maybe the condition you're in just kept you from really hearing about His promise. I don't know, but if you're here today and you're sick, there's a message for you. Come on now. Brother Kevin, it's been hard for me to get it lately. I know it has. Amen. Sometimes our anguish keeps us and our burden keeps us from hearing. But I wonder what would happen in this camp meeting if somebody right now that's been a little burdened and a little weary, but all of a sudden, just get the message. You might do like I did that night when I got the message. Amen. Jumped up with a shout of victory. Amen. I don't know what would happen. Amen. But I'll tell you what I don't want to happen. Amen. Brother Calvin, I don't want to sit here and miss, amen, what God's trying to give to me. Amen, I'm not denying your trouble. I ain't denying your sickness. I ain't denying your problem. But I'm telling you, don't allow that, amen, to keep you from getting what God, Brother Joy, amen, just be led of the Holy Ghost. Amen, I feel like God has got a message for somebody. Amen, if you're healed, amen, if you're sick, there's a healing message. If you're discouraged, amen, there's a message of encouragement. If you bow down and bowed over, I wonder what would happen to you if right now you got the message. You'd probably pack up, amen, and start leaving Egypt. You'd probably pack up and tell the devil goodbye. You'd probably pack up and tell your sorrow goodbye. All we need right now is somebody to get the message. All we need right now is somebody to hear what thus saith the Lord. Because you see, when you get the message, oh God, when you get the message, hallelujah, all of a sudden Egypt and the whip and the pit and the mud, when you get the message, come on now, oh hallelujah, woo! You know what? I've been in an absolute... I've been in services. One time we had a service. Oh, Sister Simpson, bless her heart. She had big old sores on her leg. I mean, huge, open. She's probably up near 70. She had sores on her leg and they were terrible. And she always would sing, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment." That was her number one hit single. Every time she was asked to sing, that's what she would sing. And that night, Brother Travis said, "Sister Simpson, why don't you come sing?" She said, "Brother Martin, I can't tonight." She said, "My legs are hurting so bad, I can't sing." So you know what? Somebody else started singing. Amen. "If I could but touch the hem of his garment." Sister Simpson, all of a sudden, she was running around the altar. It's a little hard to get the message at first, but when you get it, woo! I said sometimes it's a little hard to get the message, but when you get the message, all of a sudden it changes. Amen. And our service burst out. Amen. People stood to their feet. Come on now. Has anybody ever been in a service? Dead is 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Sure, I hear you. Amen. Sing another song. All of a sudden somebody gets the message. Breaks out in the center aisle. Amen. Breaks out in a dance. Amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, when the church... Amen. We'll get the message. We'll leave Egypt. We'll leave our bondage. That's all you need. You need to hear what thus saith the Word of God. I'm closing with this. But please, please, don't allow what's going on be a deterrent. They hearken not to Moses. Wasn't because he was, you know, too funny or too solemn, or it wasn't because of his speech. That was not the deterrent. He had a speech problem, but that wasn't the problem. That wasn't the reason they didn't get it. The reason they didn't get it, my friend, it's not always the fault of the preacher. It's because there's something going on in our heart, that anguish. And I'm not denying that. And I'm not trying to overlook it. Amen. But I'm telling you, don't let it overcome you. Because God's got something for you to hear. Woo! I don't know, but if somebody could get the message this morning. Hallelujah. John the Baptist, here in that prison. Come on now. Woo! Oh God. If anybody knew the scripture that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach gospel unto the poor, heal the sick, open blinded eyes," all of that, open up prison doors. If anybody knew that scripture, John did. But now he's sitting in prison and he's rehearsing that scripture. Now the Bible said, or God said, that when the Messiah would come, He'd have power to open prison doors. And here's John in prison. Now I'm sure that I heard Him preach. I'm sure I saw Him. But if that was really Him, He'd come open these prison doors, because that's one of the things that was on His mission. He'd be anointed to do just that. But here's John in prison, looking out those prison doors. I wonder how many times he quoted that scripture. If it was really the Messiah, He'd come open prison doors. Come on now. Amen. And all of a sudden the disciples come. The disciples come. Oh yeah. Amen. Amen. John said, amen, go see if that's him. Go see if that's really him. They go and see, and they come back with a message. Woo! Come on, I can see old John now. Amen. Here the disciples come back with a message. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are being cleansed. Come on now. But what about... Come on now. I'm glad for the blind. I'm glad for the lame. I'm glad for... But what about... Amen. There's something else I need to hear. There's something else about this prison I need to hear. Amen. Oh yeah, we forgot to tell you. Jesus said, have everything ready. He'll be here at midnight. We're going to have a jailbreak here. Amen. Secret now. Shh, don't tell nobody. And Jesus wanted us. That wasn't the message. Come on now. The only message God had for him is, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, you ever felt like, amen, God was passing by, amen, everybody else, and bypassing you? Come on now. Amen. There was John. Amen. Looking out there, and there was Jesus passing by the lame, healing them. Amen. Passing by the sick, healing them. Amen. But he bypassed the prison. Amen. Bypassed the cell. Amen. But you know what? John got a message that said, you know what? Amen. I ain't going to be offended in it. Amen. If I have to die, I'm going to die. Amen. In love with Jesus. Amen. If I die in rod, amen, I'm going to die with a victory. I'm telling you, don't let the devil, amen, take the anguish in your life and the bitterness in your life and the bondage you're in and cause it to keep you from hearing God's word. Because I am persuaded this morning that God's got a message for you. If you'll hear it. Sister Teresa, would y'all come? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how many of you came. Anguish of spirit. I don't know how many of you came feeling the cruel bondage. Oh, God. I don't know how many of you is hearing the crack of the whip or feeling the lash of the whip. But God's got a message, and in that message still contains the power of God. In that message still contains the person of God. In that message you will find the promise and provision of God. And if you'll just get that message right there. And it came to pass. Woo! Hallelujah. One preacher said that's his favorite text. And it came to pass. It came, and it stayed, and it lingered. And it was heavy, and I cried, and it hurt, and I was wounded. But it passed. Woo! That's all you need, friend, is just to get the message. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the congregation. You know heavy hearts. You know burdens. You know problems. You know sicknesses. You know the diagnosis. But God, if one person right here would get the message, it'd turn their absolute life around this morning. If they could just hear the message of God Almighty, oh, they might tell their circumstance goodbye. It might just come to pass this morning if they'd hear the message. Lord, I'm not denying the fact that we got trouble. We're needy people. I'm not denying the fact that I'm preaching to a congregation that's wounded. Their spirit is heavy. They got prodigals. They got lost companions. They got debt. They got problems. They got sorrows. I understand all of that. But Lord, if you'll help us, amen, we're going to make a promise right now that we're not going to allow those things, amen, to put a stone over the door of our heart. And we're going to be open to the word of the Lord. We're going to be receptive to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. And I wonder if somebody right now would step out from where you are. You'd say, my heart's been heavy. And my faith has been wavering. I've been weak. I've been burdened. And it's been hard for me to believe about God's power. It's been hard for me to believe about God's person and His provision. But this morning, I'm going to do my best to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to step out from where you are and come to this altar. Ain't no sense in us gathering together and coming out here and not hearing what God has to say to our heart. Because I'm telling you, my friend, if you want to pack up and leave the bondage of Egypt, you're going to have to get the message. Amen. If you want to pack up and leave the discouragement, you got to get the message. If you want to leave, amen, your trouble, you've got to get the message of God. I'm not saying you don't have trouble. I'm not saying you ain't got problems. I'm just saying don't allow those troubles and don't allow those problems to keep you from hearing God. Come on, let's hear the Lord today. Come on, why don't you hear what God has to say?
By physicians, only Jesus could bring relief.
I know it's a type of Egypt to you. I know it's a burden to you. I know it's troubling you. But why don't you make up your mind, Lord, I ain't going to allow that to keep me from hearing the message. I'm not going to allow that to keep me from hearing your word. I ain't going to allow my trouble to cause me to miss the message.
Still you can climb life's mountains.